8 o'clock hour here, as it is the birthday of RJ Choppy and Peyton Russell. You keeping track on your birthday scoreboard?
I am. So Sarah wished me a happy birthday at 4:40 this morning.
That's good.
It was very nice of her. And my older sister has hit me up already.
Okay.
Now she's on Eastern time zone, so she has an hour head start on everybody else.
Yeah.
She lives in Atlanta.
Not as important, not as meaningful.
Nope, not as meaningful. And my 11-year-old, for the second straight day, wished me a happy birthday. He thought it was my birthday yesterday, so he texted
okay.
and wished
That's
me.
That's okay. We're trying there.
Yeah, and the reason he found that out yesterday is because my mom, so he goes over to my mom's house before school because my ex-wife is already at school, so she drops him off. His school starts later. And my mom says, it's your dad's birthday today. My own mother had the day wrong.
Oh,
it was
my
a day early.
Gosh.
Yeah, she had the day wrong. My own mother.
Oh.
So I haven't heard from her yet.
Bet she knows when Donald's birthday is. Bet she knows that date.
45, wishing me the 45th birthday. Okay. It's 45.
Hey, but you didn't get anything from Luca yet.
I have not heard from Luca. The only thing I heard from Luca is that he's been at the dentist all morning and he has a cavity. So okay. Happy birthday to me. He has a cavity.
And he's not wearing his braces correctly.
He's not wearing his rubber bands. You know, we went to the orthodontist on Wednesday, and they said, you know, your teeth didn't move for the 6 weeks because you didn't wear your rubber bands. Can you please wear your rubber bands? He's like, yeah, okay, I'll wear my rubber bands. So, first night, Wednesday night, does he wear his rubber bands?
Nope.
No, of course not. Why would he? Why would he do what he's supposed to do?
Well, maybe it's because you said that, like, braces are back in style, so he wants to keep them on and not actually have them be effective work. And yeah. Then they go away.
That's right.
Like kids are wearing braces that look cool.
Kids are wearing fashion braces, Peyton Russell.
Didn't you think when you first got... Well, it depends when you get them. I think I got mine a little bit later, so I was more embarrassed. But I do remember thinking when kids had braces, it was cool. It's like you're wearing different shoe colors.
I wanted them. Never got them. I never got braces.
Never got them.
No.
That was a mistake.
I know.
No. Let me see. Your teeth are pretty good.
They're pretty good. These, some on the on the bottom. I've got like a little bit of
caving in a little of
crookedness that I should have had fixed, 100 years ago. But my parents are like, they're fine. They're fine. They'll be all right. I'm like, all right. But anyway,
and
fashion
Pepe,
braces.
Did you wear braces?
I did mine. All my brothers, we got ours early on. So I was fifth grade to about seventh grade, I believe. But I know some people that got it, junior, senior year of high school, and that was really bad for them.
So this trend started in Southeast Asia. Several years ago, but it didn't make it over to the U.S. until recently. But now on TikTok,
like other things from Asia,
right? Fashion braces are the thing, and people are using they're putting cement on their teeth for fake braces. And the dentists are like, "Yo, tooth enamel don't grow back, man. Like you can't do that. Don't do fake fashion braces. The DIY, you're DIYing braces, not even to fix your teeth, just for fashion." That's the nuts.
What color are his? Is it a style?
Pink. Yep, he has pink ones.
Like just the bands or like the...
The rubber bands you mean? No, the rubber bands are like regular...
You allowed that.
Yellow. Like, yeah.
So the metal part is pink?
The metal part, it's the color. They put like the ribbon around. Like not the ribbon, but like the
Who
rubber...
Who will wear the ribbon?
Yeah.
Pink?
Yeah, pink.
My wife would get on me right now. What's the matter?
Pink.
Why won't you let Ollie play with that Barbie?
Barbie's totally different. Pink is like the preferred color of kids these days.
What girls?
No, guys. their whole basketball team
here.
Their whole basketball team chose to wear those pink Aunt Pearl shoes, the Kevin Durant Aunt Pearls.
Okay.
Like they all wanted to wear pink. I don't know. It's like the new thing.
All right, Ravens, Cowboys, Sunday, right here on 105.3 The Fan. The Ravens right now are favored by 1. The over-under is 47.5. Who is your pick and why on the Franco LaFranco injury? Attorney text line 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Are you having a hard time with this one or you feel great about it?
Since 8 o'clock, I've changed my pick 7 times.
Okay.
And I was talking during a lot of that, and I was still changing my pick.
All right, let me talk out my difficulty with it. I feel pretty solid about who's going to win. Here are the factors. The thing that's thrown me off the most, yesterday, Tony Lombardi from Russell Street Report in Baltimore, and then KMC's guest from Ravens.com, they both picked a really high-scoring affair. That threw me off.
It's the third highest point total of the weekend in Vegas. I think it's like 48.5.
So is the Ravens defense like not what we're accustomed to? That's the only thing I can figure out. They gave up 23 against the Raiders. They gave up 27 against Kansas City. So am I just thinking too much of the old school Ray Lewis, you know, Terrell Suggs, Ed Reed days, and the Ravens defense is more susceptible than we thought? My big issue here, like when it comes to a game like this, I'm going to lean Baltimore's toughness over the Cowboys' toughness. It is in Arlington, and the Cowboys have to respond. Do you count on their intestinal fortitude, other things that Hulk Hogan would throw out there, for them to have the guts and the backbone to respond in a game like this against a tough opponent? That's what I'm having a really hard time with. If it was a playoff game, I like automatically pick the Cowboys to lose. Regular season game, does it really matter that much? A test of wills. Baltimore desperate not to go 0-3. That's what I'm trying to figure out with a Cowboy bounce back. Are they capable of it from a mental toughness standpoint? Or are they ready to just fold up?
The last two home games really have thrown me for a loop here. I mean, they looked bad. Defensively, they looked very, very bad. I mean, not even average.
Yeah.
They looked below average. Now, is Lamar going to do, like, Derek Carr, like, he's a better passer than Lamar Jackson. I think everybody sees that. Now, Lamar's a better quarterback overall, but from a strict pass of the ball, Carr's better. Jordan Love's better, right? So they're not facing this elite passing attack this week.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys don't beat, generally, they don't beat teams like the Ravens, like these tough, physically, mentally tough teams. They just don't.
And the Ravens have, like, dominated the recent series as well.
Yeah, I think they have. Well, now,
I don't know, it was 6-1 or something, their last seven matchups, something like that.
Yeah, it really is crazy. I'll look up their season history, series history, but this is one of those things that the Cowboys generally don't beat teams like this. So the last several games, 2020 they played, Baltimore won by 17.
Oof.
The Cowboys won by 10 in 2016. The Ravens won in 2012 by 2. The Ravens won by 9 in 08. The Ravens won by 20 in 04. And they won by 27 in the year 2000.
When did they shut down the stadium?
They shut down the stadium in 08.
08. Ravens shut it down. What are the five things that you want to see?
All right, number one. I'm not even going to ask them to stop the run. I want to see them just marginally disrupt the Ravens running game. That's all you can ask for, I think, at this point. Number two, I do not want them to spy or key or whatever with Micah on Lamar Jackson. You want to do it once or twice to give them a different look so they have to at least, you know, plan for it and protect against it, fine. But to take your best defensive player and essentially remove him from every play just to spy on a quarterback for the 6 rush attempts he's going to have, I think is insane. Babe said this yesterday, use your worst coverage defensive back, but a good tackling one, and then use him out there. Number three, I got to see this offense start to cook. Week one was a preseason game. We all know that. The offense in the second half was terrible. Week two should have shown some improvements, and they did move the ball well. They did move the ball well on New Orleans. They just didn't finish.
Yes.
Week three, this is the time where you got to put it together. So I need to see the offense start to cook a little bit. Number four. Pick 2 running backs and just go with it. Let these guys get into a rhythm. I don't need to see 3, 4, 5 guys get carries. Just pick 2 and then go. That's kind of how, like, you have look at the Jets game last night, right? They got 2 really good ones, right? They have 2 really, really good ones.
And wait till y'all hear Mike McCarthy's response to us asking if Dalvin Cook is going to play coming up at 8:40 this morning.
But, you know, they had, you know, Braylon Allen had 11 carries. Breece Hall had 16. And then Isaiah Davis had 3 in the fourth quarter, right? At the end of the game. That's fine. But they have 2 main guys. Like, a lot of teams, just 2 main guys. I don't need to see 3, 4 guys. Let these guys get into a rhythm if they could possibly find one. And then for number 5, could we get a little bit of pressure on the quarterback? Derek Carr was pressured so little in the game. 35% pressure rate. That was the 4th lowest pressure rate since the start of 2023 in the NFL.
Wow.
They've got to get more pressure, regardless of the quarterback. So a little bit more pressure.
I feel like I'm going to be way off with my over-under again. And Bobby has weighed in. Roberto says 38-28. 20. Baltimore, the Ravens run for 230 yards.
Oh, God.
18-point beatdown at the hands of the flock, according to Bobby Bell. I'm going to go... I'm going to go 23-20, 24-20, something like that, Baltimore. I'm picking the Ravens, and I'm taking the under. But again, these two Ravens insiders, they're thinking a high-scoring shootout. This is Bobby, just because of Baltimore picking the over, but he's got the Cowboys scoring 20 points, kind of like I think the Cowboys end up scoring. The Ravens' offensive line sounds like their biggest weakness right now, especially on the interior. Our Ravens insider was like, I'm praying for the guard against Micah Parsons. He said, if the Cowboys run a lot of twist stunts up front, it's going to be a problem. Problem is you got Lamar Jackson running around to the outside. Tolo Chris is saying this is the type of game that the Cowboys win when you're counting them out and you're not expecting anything. That usually does hold true. I'm going with Baltimore by 3 or 4 with the under.
We have basically the same score. I'm going with Baltimore 24-21. And that would be the under as well. I think it's 48.5.
Counting on Justin Tucker to respond here and rebound from especially from plus 50.
Yeah, well, they may get a 30 yarder out of him.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel like his boot can get up to 40.
Pepe, what are you going with?
I'm stuck here, you know, because a couple stats point out to me here, you know, and got me thinking. The Cowboys are 12-2 in their last 14 games when responding to a loss. So you're thinking, okay, Cowboys win. But then Lamar Jackson, I believe he's 20-1 or 20-2 against NFC opponents in his career. But, you know, me being a Cowboys homer, I'm going to pick the Cowboys here. 30-27.
30-27. Pepe going with the over. Are we 50-50 split? Are we majority Ravens, majority Cowboys right now from the Tolos?
Ravens 46-30. Wow.
Damn.
Let's see. 12 for 104 for Lamar and a TD on the prediction. Lamar Jackson has a 20-3 record against the NFC in his career. Holy cow. Somebody else says he's 20-1, so I don't know. Ravens 31-24, 31-27, Cowboys 33-30, Baltimore 27-24. Baltimore 38-23, Ravens 35-17. Wow, there's a lot. I mean, it's all Ravens.
All Ravens?
31-12 Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of happy birthdays for Peyton and I. Thank you very, very much. Cowboys lose 27-10, 33-17 Baltimore. I mean, I'm still trying to find a Cowboy one.
Wow, there it is. So everyone on the show except for Pepe is going with the purple and black. Hopefully we are wrong. Mike McCarthy previews the game with us at 8:40 this morning. What are we actually watching? Try to put it into words or text. What are we actually watching with Shohei Ohtani and what he did yesterday? Plus RJ's notes on Kumar Rocker's second start on the home of the World Series champs right after this.
On a 1-2, Ohtani sends it on the air. The other way. Back it goes. Gone! One of a kind player. One of a kind season. Shohei Ohtani starts the 50-50 club.
That's the call from Dodgers TV. Great call, I think. Since runs batted in became official in 1920, only one baseball player has had over the course of his entire career a game with 10 RBIs plus, a game with 6 hits or more, a game with 5 or more extra base hits.
That is insane that he had 5 extra base hits.
Well, how do you know I'm talking about Ohtani? A game with 3 or more home runs, a game with 2 or more stolen bases. That one player is Shohei. And what he did last night to go 50-50, 6 hits, 10 runs batted in, 3 homers, 2 stolen bases. His career high in stolen bases had been 26. And of course, he's doing these things as a designated hitter since he's not pitching this year. I mean, baseball historian, baseball lover, try to put it into words.
It's hard to put this thing into words. He is... He's the most complete player today because obviously he pitches too.
Yeah, I think it's easy to say. I think of the players that we've seen in our 40 years, for you 45 years, geezer, today.
I know.
In our 40 plus years of watching, he's the number one draft pick all time that you take.
Yeah, I mean, like from
that's
the
easy.
Yeah, because he could do two things, and nobody else can.
And he's a good pitcher.
He's very good. Absolutely. He had 17 total bases last night. He had 17 bases. Come on, what are we doing here? That's not baseball. He's not playing. He's playing a different sport. Yeah, what he's able to do, 50-50 is tremendous. All of his numbers are good. Like he's batting, you know, 290. He's got 50 home runs. He's got 50 steals. His OPS is about 1,000. It's just stupid. It is just stupid.
Can you remember other performances?
Like individual game performances?
Yes.
I mean, look, when, you know, Josh hitting 4 home runs in the game was pretty cool. Didn't he also have another hit in that game too? That's pretty awesome, right? And there's been other guys that have hit 4 home runs in a game. The Kerrywood 20 strikeout game.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome. Roger Clemens had a 15 strikeout game in an ALCS. That was pretty awesome. Roy Halladay, no hitter in a playoff game.
They gave him the curtain call too in Miami.
They should have.
And the manager, we give him props.
Big time props. He pitched to him. It was 20-4 or whatever the hell the score was. He didn't have to pitch to him in the ninth inning. He didn't. He didn't have to pitch to him in, let's see, he had a home run also in the, let's see, he hit one in the sixth. He didn't have to pitch to him in the seventh to get the 50. But he could have said, I'm just going to walk this guy. But he's like, I'm not going to disrespect the game or the player by just walking him, right? If he's going to get it, he's going to get it. Big time respect. The game was over. It was out of reach. I mean, for crying out loud, this thing was 7-1 after 3. It was like, that's just, this game was so out of reach for them. They weren't going to win. Pitch to him. I give him credit. And the thing is, Shohei didn't have any home runs till the sixth inning.
What? Wow.
He hit one in the sixth, one in the seventh, one in the ninth.
And he's so big, so strong, and then the speed.
And the speed. To have that kind of speed. I mean,
Bo Jackson, freak athlete?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Just like freaks.
Yeah.
LeBron, Shaq.
Shaq, Wilt, LeBron, yeah. Absolutely.
Bo, Ohtani. But he's the best athlete, right, in baseball history?
Okay, so like, yeah, because I mean, he's doing both. I mean, is Bo's athleticism greater? Yeah, probably. You know, just but it's...
But best athlete in baseball history? I mean, I guess you do include Bo. But I'm trying to think of who else. I'm stopping short of calling him like the greatest player ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I'm trying to figure out
You can make the case. You can absolutely make the case. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's... Nobody's done what he's done.
I love that he's doing this, too, with all the hype. I love that he's doing this after all the hype, after the contract, in Los Angeles, on the Dodgers. Again, I'm a fan of him. I know Bobby, you know, hates him, tries to create all these problems and issues with his dog. But you talk about matching the hype and then doing it in the year he's not pitching, creating this news. That's what I love, too.
Yeah.
He's doing all this. He's just like, all right, fine, I'll just hit and run.
He'll pitch again.
I'll hit and run. I'm not even going to field.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to pitch again. He'll pitch next year. He will probably, I mean, they'll have him start to begin it. But, you know, maybe his future is as a closer. I have no idea. That'd be tough.
Imagine if we didn't get this, too, if he got suspended or wiped out from the scandal.
The scandal, absolutely. Because we're missing one of the great years of all time, which ironically isn't even the best year that somebody's having this year. Judge is having a better year, which is crazy to think. But Judge is batting like 30 points higher. And
is his WAR higher, Judge?
Yeah, it's Judge's WAR is a 9.9. Shohei is about a 7. But Judge's OPS is, you know, 100 points higher, and OPS plus is 40 higher. It's crazy that Shohei's having this kind of year, and you know, Judge is having a better year. But
damn, Gunnar Henderson has a higher WAR than Shohei. It's Judge, Witt, Gunnar, Duran. Then Ohtani.
Ohtani's getting dinged because he doesn't get any defensive WAR added in because he just is a DH. If Shohei was pitching
this
year...
Why is he just a DH?
Well, you get defensive. Why is Shohei just a DH? Well, the arm. Right, Tommy John.
Oh, yeah.
They've been DHing him anyway a lot of times. The Angels did a lot just to save his arm between starts. But he also had Tommy John, and it's a second one. So I would be surprised... Now, if they decide,
they'd be too scared to have him even make like an outfield throw.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now, we may get to a point 3 years from now where they're like, okay, he's getting hurt too much to pitch. Let's just stop having him pitch and let's just have him play the outfield. He's athletic enough to do it. He's obviously fast enough to play the outfield. He could probably play center.
Your thoughts on Kumar Rocker? 4 walks, hit batter in short period of time as the Rangers lose to Toronto right here on the Fan.
I thought his second outing was in a way similar than the first, but just less impressive. He went longer in the first outing than he did in this one. His pitch count was just entirely too high. He had 24 pitches after the first inning. I think he had 48 after two. You just can't sustain that. So he's going to have to. And here's the thing. He has good enough stuff to throw the ball over the plate. He doesn't have to worry about them hitting him. Like, he's got good enough stuff. But you love the strikeout numbers. 5 strikeouts in 3 innings is fantastic. 7 strikeouts in 4 innings. I think it was the first start. That's fantastic. You absolutely want that. They love seeing that. He just is going to have to get a little bit more efficient with his pitches because, like I said, 48 pitches through 2 innings, you are going to kill a bullpen. And if it comes out, you know, if he continues down this road, now he'll go through the offseason. It's so early. It's so early. If we get to this point next year and he's still throwing 25 pitches in an inning, you know, then we'll worry about it. And then they'll worry about what they're going to do with him moving forward because that's more of a bullpen guy than a starter because you can't have a starter throwing 25 pitches in an inning. They'll never get past 5. Which is what you want out of an ace. And he's got ace stuff. Like, there's no doubt about that. If you're striking out, 11 guys in 8 innings, or in 7 innings on average, I mean, that's ace stuff. So he has some of the things you absolutely fall in love with.
So stock staying. I'm keeping my stock there with him.
Yeah, I didn't drop it. I didn't drop it at all. It was just a little bit less impressive than the first, but he's still striking out a ton of guys. And that's what they value in the modern era.
Juan Soto is not making some Yankee fans happy as he was talking about wanting to homer. He ended up homering in every ballpark?
Yeah, so he had a home run in Seattle, which gave him a home run in all 30 parks. And he was doing his post-game, you know, media session. And he brought that up along with something else that people in New York are kind of criticizing.
It's a great feeling for me. I think, you know, it's so many different ballparks, so many different dimensions. I just want to get all of them checked in, you know. What a best way to go to free agency with all 30 homers, all 30 ballparks checking my list.
So it's a cool feat, 30 home run, a home run in every ballpark, right? It's a cool feat.
Yeah.
It's not like the biggest deal in the world. I think it was also his 200th career home run. And I went and captured some quotes. New York radio station, I didn't care for that comment.
The
New York
said, what a way to go into free agency.
What a way to go into free agency. The New York Post, Soto reminds Yankees of pricey free agency reality. Blogs saying Juan Soto shows Yankees a red flag. Like, what is the matter with those people? Like, it was weird. It was a weird comment.
Yeah.
It was a weird comment. But
if Dak had said, like, during the negotiations or something, like, something that was a little flirty with somewhere else, it'd probably tick us off, or would we understand it? Because it's not like people aren't blaming the Yankees, right, for not having the next D already. Like, we blame the Cowboys.
Right. The Yankees, they would sign him today, but he's a Boris guy. Boris doesn't sign guys over. They go into free agency generally. I mean, it's a cool accomplishment, but, like, you know.
Let me hear the comment one more time. Let me hear it one more time, Pepe from Soto.
It's a great feeling for me. I think, you know, it's so many different ballparks, so many different dimensions. I just want to get all of them checked in, you know. What a best way to go to free agency with all 30 homers, all 30 ballparks checking my list.
I can see I could rub a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see it. I could see it. But it's like they don't know. They don't know he's a free agent. He's a Boris guy. It's going to take $600 million to get to him.
All right, since we were out there yesterday at the LIV Golf Tournament, thanks to them for having us out. You know what? It really hit me leaving there, comparing it to going to the Colonial or Byron. This is by far the biggest, most, correct me if I'm wrong, the most star-studded golf event that we've
ever
had.
Oh.
I mean, and it hit me because when we were leaving, Peyton, I know you'll love this since you weren't there. Mm-hmm. While we were waiting for the golf cart to take us back to our vehicles, out walks Dustin Johnson as we were talking about his relationship, his marriage. Don't do that. don't get yourself in trouble on your birthday on a Friday. But we were sitting there talking about his relationship, and Choppy was telling me some stuff with Paulina, and boom, he walks out with the Tony Romo like cell phone call, like no one bother me. So Dustin Johnson walks by, weird walk, really dark tan. Then DeChambeau comes from the players' parking lot. No, actually, it started off with Sergio. Yeah. So Sergio, then
Bryson.
I think Bryson was last, but anyway, it doesn't matter. And as I'm driving out and I'm thinking about it, I'm like, you don't even get three guys like that at the Byron or Colonial.
No. So,
and yesterday we got the live news that the guys will be able to participate in the Ryder Cup. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. And the PGA Championship. Yeah, it's awesome. It's great news. They should, because they have some of the best golfers out there. Now, some of the guys are older and they took some money. They're like, oh, Sergio, Phil, even DJ. They're like, look, we're getting up there in age. I know I can't make $200 million on the PGA Tour anymore, so let me just take the money. I get it. I'd have done the same thing. If you're Cam Smith and you're 22 years old, do you want to do it? Colin Morikawa? You know, who knows? You want to ruin your rep for that if it really does ruin your rep? But the reason for that is that if you sign on with Liv, you have to play in all their events. Okay, you've got to.
Oh.
On the PGA Tour, you don't. So... When Byron Nelson was still alive, everybody played the Byron. Tiger played it. Phil, they all played it. They all played it every year out of respect. Once he passed away, nobody went anymore.
So make it on out there to Merido this weekend if you can. And thanks to Liv for having us out. Does Mike McCarthy care about the dual birthdays on the show? And what does he think of Mel Kiper's idea to get rid of these safeties in the NFL? Let's preview the Ravens with Mike McCarthy next on Sean and RJ. It is now time for the Mike McCarthy Show here on Sean and RJ. Bobby is out with strep. It's brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think Peyton just committed a birthday faux pas.
Man.
I saw him smile back there as he was getting coached on the line. And I was like, what, did Mike maybe hear that it was your birthday? He goes, yeah, I told him.
Oh, you can't tell. Hey, it's my birthday today.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how does that conversation go? What did he say back, Peyton? What did he say to you when you said, and what did you say? Hey, coach, it's my birthday?
No, I was just giving him a little PR heads up that it's RJ's birthday. I didn't say it was my birthday. No one cares about my birthday. They care about RJ's birthday.
Oh, and what did he say back to you? Oh, yeah?
He said, well, I'm going to give him a big happy birthday wish.
All right, let's bring in the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Good morning, coach.
Good morning. Happy birthday. Hell, I couldn't sleep last night. You know, just thinking about all the things I was going to say this morning.
Oh, thank you, coach. That means so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so what are you doing today for your birthday?
Dinner, and then I hope that my Tennessee Volunteers get a big win tomorrow. That would be the good birthday there, and then the Cowboys on Sunday, you guys get a win.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Where are you going to dinner?
This place called the Lost Colony in Highland Village. I don't know if you know where that is. I've never been there.
Well, cool. Well, it sounds like a heck of a spot.
And Peyton's got a big decision between Mexican or Italian, coach. Which one would you lean towards?
Oh, shoot. I think they're both great. I think it's a matter of which you had last. So
If
you had Mexican last, I go Italian or flip it. No, you can't go wrong with Mexican or Italian.
So, coach, we were just having this discussion about Shohei Ohtani for the Dodgers. He had like an incredible night last night, 6-for-6, 10 RBIs, 3 home runs, 2 stolen bases, just an insane night. Is there a night from a player that you were there for coaching with or against that just stands out to you as like, oh, my, that was like the most special night I've ever seen?
On the field?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've seen some unbelievable games, you know, by Aaron Rodgers, you know, just, you know, 5-6 touchdown type games. But, nothing jumps to mind as far as the opponent, you know. But, I'm sorry, but that what he's doing is off the charts. I mean, it's unbelievable, it's the year that he's having.
50-50.
Yeah.
50-50, yep.
50-50, first baseman.
Unheard of.
Yes. Hey, coach, obviously the Ravens are coming in here desperate at 0-2. What struggles have you seen from them on tape that has them winless so far?
Well, I just think it's they didn't finish the game against the Raiders. You know, obviously they, you know, if you just look at the last three series of the games, you know, the game against the Raiders, you know, the 3-3 and outs, and then the Raiders went down and scored three times. So this is an excellent football team. I mean, it's still the team that was competing to go to the Super Bowl last year. So, and I think it's also the reality of September football. You know, I understand the records, but you know, we're preparing for the team that's been on tape, you know, as far as the first 2 weeks, but also, you know, we spent a bunch of time on particularly their players. You know, last year, obviously, they've had a lot of change in their coaching staff. But you're talking about a system and a profile and a program that's been in place for decades.
Yeah.
So that's what we're really focused on as far as getting ready to go win this game.
You know, watching them and seeing Lamar and all that he, you know, all the problems he presents, is he probably the most difficult guy to game plan against just because you don't know what he's going to do on any given play?
Absolutely. I think when you got a impact player, you know, like Lamar is, you know, that has the ball in his hands every single play and, you know, and has the diversity, you know, starting with just the time clock of their plays, you know, because, I mean, there's obviously when you design a play, there's a time clock to it. But his off tempo and extended time clock is probably going to be the biggest challenge we see all year. So his ability to extend plays and then, you know, unfortunately for us is when he pulls the ball down and runs, he is a dynamic runner too. So, and you know, he still has the ability to stay on the move and make the 50, 60 yard throws. So this is a big challenge for our defense.
Coach, do you remember what you thought about him coming out of Louisville? And what's your core philosophy on changing a guy too much? You know, the big Lamar discussion has always been, all right, or Mike Vick even, try to have him run less to preserve him, you know, become better as a pocket passer, or are you just taken away from what makes that player truly special and unique? Like, what's your philosophy on the dual impact guy and maybe trying to save some of the wear and tear?
Well, I mean, I remember the draft because, you know, that was the draft class of, you know, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Sam Darnold and that bunch. And, you know, the conversation that Ted Thompson and I had was, and I forget where we were picking that year, but, you know, he was what we labeled as, the X factor in that group. Because, you know, at Louisville, he played for Bobby Petrino. You know, Bobby ran a pro-style offense. So there was, you know, a lot of drop back on tape to evaluate. Now, you know, we weren't, you know, looking to take a quarterback, but, you know, it was definitely a discussion of, you know, if he was down there when we picked it, it was, you know, definitely a conversation you needed to have. But just extremely dynamic, you know, with the ball in his hand, but there definitely was enough, you know, drop back there that you can say, hey, this guy can also win from the pocket.
Do you remember who you guys picked at 18?
I do not.
Jair Alexander. Pick?
Ooh,
there you go. Good pick.
Very good pick.
Derwin James, Jair, Van Der Esch. Nice little cluster right there.
That's a good set right there. Coach, philosophically, you know, because you got to spy on him, right? You're going to have so basically it becomes 11-on-10. Philosophically, do you like using your best player to spy on him, or like how do you do that? How do you decide who to use?
Well, that's why you game plan. You know, I think with anything, you know, these are things that you put in place, you know, during the off season and as far as training camp and train. I think, you know, when the schedule, you know, you're playing the AFC North and the schedule came out and we knew we were going to play these teams early. So, I mean, these are things that, you know, we have, you know, built into our base package. You know, it's, you know, Deshaun Watson's obviously is a very active quarterback. So, I mean, these are the kind of things that we can hopefully build off of, you know, schemes and calls that we have in place, but you're definitely have to adjust and give him different looks because, like I said, he's extremely dynamic.
How's he developed as a thrower, Coach? Because a lot of people say, all right, he can run during the regular season. The Ravens are always going to be 11-12 wins, but it's going to take him throwing more efficiently in the postseason to advance. How have you seen Lamar develop as a thrower over the years?
Well, I think the new, you know, the new offensive change has been good for him because I think it's, you know, it's given him more, you know, opportunity as far as, you know, schematically from the pocket, you know, where I would have viewed their, you know, their offense before more run first, throw second. But I do think they have more balance if you watch them last year and this year. So, you know, I think Todd Monk has done a really nice job with them.
Mike McCarthy here with Sean and RJ on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Coach, right now with your football team, is the bigger focus or bigger concern on your run defense or your own run game?
Oh, I think it's, you know, really farm your own land, you know, clean your own house mentality. You can go through everything. I mean, we're not, you know, it's we know where we are and continue to work on them. But, yeah, definitely we're focused on both those this week as far as, you know, primary energy distribution as far as you know, things we didn't practice, and you know, you only have so much time each day on the field, and but those will be priorities throughout the year. I mean, your run defense and run offense has to continue to grow. You know, it never stays the same in this league.
Coach, we saw New Orleans get out on the perimeter last week. Is it the opposite with the Ravens when they do hand off with Henry? Are you just anticipating more of a between-the-tackles battle with their run game when they do hand off?
Well, I think the big key with Derek, you know, I mean, just watch him throughout his career is, you know, his ability to get going. For, you know, if he is on the, you know, on the outside zone, that's when he's most dangerous. But, you know, so how they get to the perimeter and really, you know, coming off the outside zone or the pattern, you know, gap schemes where the ball has a chance to bounce. But, you know, it's a different run game, clearly. You know, the body types up front are different. So, I mean, they're going to come in, they're going to play their game. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that they schematically and conceptually have always done. You know, they get on the goal line, they're going to run power. And so those are the things we're really locked into.
Coach, are you guys expecting to add Dalvin Cook to your attack on Sunday?
Well, I mean, good shot. I mean, you know, he did a nice job. I mean, I don't recall ever talking about who's going to play on Sunday.
Okay.
On the show.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to
give it's a birthday. It's a birthday present. Birthday.
Yeah, I'm just clouded with RJ's birthday plans.
Not Peyton's.
Not Peyton's, right?
No, I just can't believe I don't know why I didn't get invited to dinner. That's
my gosh. Uh-huh. There you go. You want to come? Come on to dinner. Let's go. All right.
Not too late. I already got plans.
You would have been picking up the check anyway.
Yeah,
trust
that's
me.
That's
going
true.
Out
no doubt. Yeah, no doubt.
That's 100% true. No doubt. Mike McCarthy, join us here at 105 through the Fan. Okay, the trend around the league first couple of weeks, you know, points are down a little bit, and I know it's early, it's basically first couple of games of the year now have become extended preseason, but has running the ball become cool again?
Has it become cool?
Yeah, like, you know, it's a new thing. You know, we love the passing game. Passing was all the rage, and now it seems like running the ball is the thing to do again.
Well, I think it's like anything. You're trying to establish things and, you know, at this time of year with your team, and then, you know, off of the run game comes half of your passing game, especially, you know, in the majority of your passing game in the first and second down. So, you know, I look at the touchdowns being down, and, you know, I could just only go off of our experience. You know, you have certain opportunities to take the shots at the end zone, and, you know, when you hit them, that's when you're scoring the touchdowns and your numbers are up. You know, we haven't hit ours in the first 2 weeks.
Coach, Mel Kiper Jr. said on ESPN yesterday that the NFL should outlaw the two high safeties because it's killing the downfield passing attack. First of all, would you support that? Second of all, is that really a major reason why downfield passing is just not what it was maybe, you know, a handful of years ago?
No, I don't believe that at all. I mean, the Steelers defense of the 70s played cover two, you know. And no, I think it's just like anything. Our league's about trends, and always has been. And, you know, and whether it's more too high or too shallow with the quarters, or too high with the, you know, deeper cover two concepts, and, you know, one high, whether it's man or the match concepts that's popular now. I think it's, you know, it's plus there's only been two games. I mean, we're in week three, and we're gonna make this comments like that. Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Coach, is Mozzie the biggest injury concern that you guys are trying to address before Sunday compared with Ferg and Lamb and Diggs, which you seemed to say a couple of days ago wasn't a major concern? Is Mozzie the one at the top of y'all's list?
No, I think just really how they all come in today. I you know, everything was moving forward yesterday when we left here last night. So, you know, I'm very hopeful that they're all going to play. This is a key day. You know, just the way this is set up. You know, yesterday was a rough practice, and you know, it was pads, and you know, we went inside because of the heat. So, you know, we really got after it yesterday. So we'll see how the guys come in today.
Well, try to catch up on some sleep that you lost last night. Waiting for the birthday invites. Apologies from the two guys, and best of luck this weekend.
All right, man. You guys have a great weekend.
Mike McCarthy on 105.3 The Fan every single Friday at this time. Vegas insults Oklahoma. Let's make you some football gambling money with the birthday boy, one of them, RJ Choppy, with your football degenerate. Final hour of Sean and RJ next.